Hey, everybody, I'm excited to have this opportunity to be able to just be in your life for a few moments. I won't take a lot of your time. But the message that I'm about to share with you has been excerpted so that the significance, the substratum of the message, not the whole message, can be delivered to you in your home, and you can get a taste of what it's like to be here at the Potter's House. Take a look at this. If there were one thing that Peter knew how to do well, it was fishing. He was doing it when he met the Lord. Successful businessman, great career on his way. In fact, the way the Lord attracted him, he said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you just as successful in the kingdom as you were in the world if you follow me. Peter had to be good. He knew what he was doing. Yet the Bible says he fished all night. All night long. He fished, came out of his clothes, laid in the boat naked, stressed out, worried, sweating, agonizing, laboring, trying all the tricks, change the bait, change the net, change the technique, change the style, keep everything quiet, doing everything he could, and at the end of it, he caught nothing. You see, beloved, we talk all the time about the God who opens doors. But we don't teach people about the God who shuts doors. There is a God, my brothers and sisters. Lord, help me to preach. He'll shut a door so tight that your key don't work in the lock anymore. You can't go back in it to save your life. Expertise won't unlock it. You call people who you know will help you, and they won't help you. You try things that work for you for years, and it will not work for you. God is trying to tell you something. How many of you have ever had God shut a door? He just shut the door. Boy, it's a frustrating thing too. It takes you a while to realize that the door is shut because you just know that you know that you know that you know you can do this. They didn't figure the door was shut the first hour. First 4 hours, first quarter of the evening. Well, you know, maybe it's a slow night. Peter said, I've seen some slow nights, but we're not catching anything. No carp, no catfish, nothing. Nothing. Sea of Tiberias, we're not catching anything. No bass, no trout, nothing. Nothing. No sunfish, nothing. You're talking about nets now. You're not talking about fishing rods, you're talking about nets. A net ought to catch something if it's a log. All night, nothing in the net. My God, can't he shut a door? Applications everywhere. Nothing in the net. Used to have three men wanted to date you, and one of them wanted to marry you. Three. thought sure you was gonna get that house, getting ready to close on the deal, had a preliminary letter from the bank, and now nothing. And I wish there were some people who could be honest and tell me, I know what it is to have nothing in the net. Nothing in the net. Can you imagine all the work? You throw it out. You wait. You look. You hope. You pull it in. Wet nets. Heavy. Pulling them back up on the sea. Out of the sea. Into the boat. Nothing in the net. You say, let me try something else. Whoosh, throw it out there again. Say, I know it's going to happen this time. I just know it. I just know it. It's going to happen. I didn't throw it out wide enough. I didn't lay it out right. And if you don't lay it out right, sometimes you won't catch the fish. And so you throw it out wider this time. Nothing in the net. And all of a sudden, time is a great teacher. Time is a great teacher. You start out saying a whole lot of things, but as the night goes on, you learn to shut up. They can't do nothing with me. I can do this and I can do that. They don't know who I'm fooling with. I could have been married. I can move anywhere. I can get a job anywhere. And suddenly you break down. There's old song where you sing, without God, I can do nothing. Without him, I would fail. Without him, my life would be drifting. Like a ship without a sail. Took them all night long to figure out my stuff ain't working. Things are not falling into place. All night long, by morning, they're still out there toiling. Peter's come out of his clothes. Thomas is hanging off the boat. The other disciples are in little ships around. Nobody's having any success. Nobody connected with them going anywhere. And in the midst of utter failure, because God has to let usual fail so that you know that there will be no more business as usual. If God let you go in your own way, he wouldn't love you. Sometimes God has to shut the door and close up the way so that he can direct you. I told you, direction is better than money, and there's nothing like correction to give you direction. And God will correct you by shutting up doors. There he's standing there in the morning. The great idea man and all who have followed him have come to failure. Nothing, nowhere. And all the guys said, well, I thought you was good at this, man. It's nothing like when people following you and you, I thought, well, baby, I thought you said the Lord said do this. You told me not to worry that we see these bills and this. Nothing. A stranger showed up on the seashore and he asked him a question. Now watch out. Watch out. When God asks a question. Oh my God, you into something. When God starts questioning you, you are in for something, because God is an absolute. He's not a question. He's an answer, not a dilemma. He is the sum total of the equation, not the process. And when God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know. He says, children, have you any meat? He said, did you catch anything without me? Is it working on your own? Did that other guy who promised you come through for you? Did reading your astrology help you? Did calling your old boyfriend bring you out? Y'all back together, you and your old girlfriend, is it working? You said you needed a new man. Is it working? Children, have you any meat? He called them into a personal assessment. He called them into a personal assessment. This is what people often avoid, substituting busyness rather than self-analysis. We prefer to examine the lives of others rather than to look into our own lives. We give great counsel and advice, and we seem to know what everybody else ought to do, while we ourselves are drowning in our own dilemmas, our own weaknesses, and our own circumstances. And pretty soon, God will call you into confrontation. Have you any meat? Stop talking about Jakes and Johnson and Williams and Jameson. Have you? What about you? You so smart. What's in your boat? That's what drives men to God, when you look in your own boat. You'll never get closer to God looking in my boat. But oh, when you look into your boat, baby, that's what'll make you humble yourself and come back to God. Children! They said, no. And the stranger, because see, they still didn't know it was the Lord. The stranger said, drop your nets on the other side. Now, there's several things I want you to see about this. First of all, at the opiate of frustration and failure, you are closer to your blessing than you've ever been in your life. When you want to give up the most, that's when you are nearest to your breakthrough. This is no time to give up on your dream and sail to shore and say it didn't work. All you need is a word from God. Tell somebody and say, you're close to it. Second thing. I want you to see that God was saving his blessing, storing it up, locking it up. Even while he was going without, God was holding his fist You ever had God hold your fist while you were acting a fool and going crazy about to lose your mind, and God was holding your fist and you thought it was gone and you thought it was over and you thought you'd never get it back, but God had his hand up under the boat and he was holding your fist? Touch somebody and tell them God is holding your fist. Your enemy will not get your fist. Your critics will not get your fist. Those people who hate you will not get your fist. God may be trying to train you, but he's not trying to kill you. God is saying to somebody in here who's had a long night of failure and frustration, and you feel like your fist got away, the Lord is saying, I will restore unto you the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the locust ate up. And just when the devil's laughing and saying you're never gonna get it, God said, I saved your fist. I kept them up under your boat. You're closer to your blessing than you've ever been in your life. I just had to show you that you can't get there without me. And if you don't talk to me, you'll never get the guy. You'll never get the breakthrough. I never push up. You'll never get it. You'll never get it. You know the frustration of failure lies in the feeling that you are so close to a breakthrough. The frustration of failure lies in the feeling that you are so close to a breakthrough. And you say, even though I haven't caught anything, I just have a feeling that the fish are in there and you keep throwing it. I just got a feeling that there's somebody out there for me. I just got a feeling that there's a job going to open up. I just got a feeling that there's an opportunity. I got a feeling that the contract's going to come through.
Hallelujah.
I got a feeling that this is not how my story ends. I got a feeling that I won't die in defeat and agony. I got a feeling that some kind of way I'm going to come up out of this. I don't know how. I don't know who. I don't know where. But the reason I fished my way out of all my clothes fighting to get a breakthrough is that I kept having a feeling that something was going to break through in my life.
Like negativity in my mind.
Sometimes the circumstances.
I think self-doubt might be one of them.
God gave you a vision and you ran into trouble. That doesn't mean that the vision wasn't real. It just means that much is required of you to get to that next level.
You now have the opportunity to reach the next level with the SOAR experience. Bishop T.D. Jakes, along with other top entrepreneurs, will speak finance, business practices, and wisdom at an exclusive one-day-only event at the Potter's House of Dallas on October 7th.
And entrepreneurship is not about a business alone. It's really about a mindset where you take responsibility and stop allowing other people to control your destiny, your purpose, and your value.
For only $30, you will not only get the practical tools to get your dreams off the ground, but you'll also get a copy of Bishop's new book, SOAR. Log on to tdjakes.org/SOAR to register today.
Jesus stood there and he spoke to him from his place on the shore. He said, cast your nets on the other side. I tell you, one of the reasons I insist on being a tither is not for the financial return, because sometimes I need things that money can't buy. But when I bring my tithe, I acknowledge him in all my ways. And in return, he said he would direct my path. He don't have to send magic money. Just give me clear direction. Show me where to throw my net. Show me who I can trust. Show me my friends from my enemies. Show me when to make a deal and when to walk away. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Somebody in this church just needs direction. You just need the right decision. If you make the right decision, God's gonna give you a breakthrough right now. Throw your hands up and start thanking God for the right decision. Oh my God. My God. My God. And so the Bible says that when he obeyed the word, in fact, in one text, it says, Lord, we toiled all night and we caught nothing. You don't understand. I've tried everything I know how to try. I've exhausted all my tricks, all my resources, all my contacts, all my friends, all my partners. I've done everything I know how to do, and it still isn't working. Is there anybody in here in any area of your life, you're going through something where you've done everything you know how to do and it's still not working? This word is for you. God is getting ready to speak a word in your life that's going to give you clear direction. I don't care who else is failing. I don't care who else is drowning. I don't care who else is losing their mind, having a nervous breakdown, can't find a job or anything else. I don't care what you read in the paper. I don't care what you see on the news. I don't care what your mama said. I don't care what your auntie said. God is determined to bless you, but he will only bless you when you act on his word, not your feelings, not your emotions, not your desperation. Somebody's got to start acting on the word of God. Tell three people and say the word, the word, the word. We need a 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 word. We don't need a man. We need a word. We need a word. We need a word. Just one word. Just one word from God will turn the situation around. Just one word from God. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. The crisis in Peter's life about the fish wasn't even important. The fish are not even important. Peter's will had to be broken. Peter had to be brought to a place of submission. Peter had to lose all confidence in his own ability in order to be eligible for the second half of his life. Somebody's getting ready to go into the second half of your life. When you get ready to flip into that second half of your life, God begins to purge you. Because there are some things that you can't take in the second half that you had in the first half. And if you do, you'll sabotage your success. And so God will give you an intermission and hold up everything so that he can give you correction, so that the mistakes you made back here, you won't make them up there. He has to purge you. Oh, God, help me to preach your word. Help me to preach your word. Throw your hand up and say, get it out of me. I'm willing to be delayed to get it out of me. I'm willing to pass this test to get it out of me. I'm willing to be broken to get it out of me. I don't want to continue in my own way. I've had failures and troubles and mishaps and mistakes. Nobody would correct me. Nobody would speak up. Thank you for loving me enough to correct me when I'm wrong. Get it out of me so that when I go to the next level, I won't have to come back down anymore. I feel a Holy Ghost anointing in this place right now. Look at your neighbor and tell him God knows how to get it out of you. He knows how to get pride out of you. He knows how to get self-righteousness out of you. He knows how to get emptiness out of you. He knows how to get pettiness out of you. God knows how to get it out of you. He wants you to play around with it on the first hand. But because of where God is getting ready to take you now, he's got to get that stuff out of you so that when you go to the next level, he can use you like he's never used you. Who am I preaching to? I don't know who it is. Feel the power of the Holy Ghost in here. Sit down. I'm not worried about making you shout. Let me tell you something. God is not concerned about the fish. He doesn't need the fish. He's using the fish to teach the man. And he's willing to make you uncomfortable for a short period so that he can secure you for a lifetime. You got to get your priorities straight. You got to make up in your mind what is the most important thing to you. God can't have you in his army if every time you run into a problem, you're going to throw your hands up and say, I go fix it. You got to stand there and fight. Fight. So glad you all did that number stand this morning, because that's exactly what the Lord is saying to you. After you've done all you can and you don't know what to do, you just stand there and say, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. I'm gonna stand. It ain't working. I'm gonna stand. I tried all night, but I'm gonna stand. Everybody, I'm out of time. I got to stop, but it's been a real joy to share the word of the Lord with you. It's been such an honor. I am so blessed to have just a few minutes of your day to pour into your heart the word of God. It gave my life purpose and meaning to serve you. I'm not the important one. You are. God used me as a servant to serve you. Wonder who you are. You owe it to yourself to find out. He sent me to motivate you to be all you can be. Be blessed today. We love you. We're praying for you. And we are here because of you.
Everything you practiced on was preparation for what he is about to release in your life.
You already have the favor of God. Now get positioned to receive it.
Everything that you have secretly whispered to me about in the middle of the night, I'm sending it in your direction.
For your gift to the ministry of any size, you will receive Bishop Jake's enlightening message, Position Me on CD, and custom favor prayer from you.
Your success is in your struggle. When you come, everything you've been through comes with you.
And when your gift is $90 or more, we will add Bishop's 7-message series, Position for Favor, on DVD.
You had a season of turbulence, a season of being overlooked. Your season is turning.
However, when your gift is $120 or more, you will also receive this beautiful leather favor journal. There is no limit to what God will do in your life when you're positioned for favor.
Your season is turning.
Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Touch.
Hey, everybody, I'm so excited to have this opportunity to share with you. I believe that the kinds of messages that I give life to you because God gives them to me and He is the giver of life itself. Such is the case today. I have heard from the boss and I echo what he says. This is what he said to me. John, the worshiper, recognized and identifies that it is the Lord. But Peter, the man of faith, because Peter was a man who took action. See, now there's something powerful you got to see. Worship may identify him, but faith leaps off the boat. It's not enough to be a worshiper and identify it is the Lord if you're not going to take action on what you see. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? So we need some boat leapers. We need some boat leapers who are not afraid to leap off the boat. Look at this. This is good. This is good. Is this good? This is good. See? The Bible said when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, because he didn't know it, John had to tell him. But one thing about Peter, once he got a conviction about something, he jumped up and put on his coat and cast himself into the sea. It's interesting. I don't know if I'm going to finish tonight. See, Peter was naked. Now let me ask you something. If you were out there fishing in a boat, naked. Now come on, it's just nobody here but us. And you decided that you were going to swim across the Sea of Tiberias to get to the land. Would you want to put on your coat before you went swimming? Seemed like it would be the other way around. I would be fishing in my coat and strip to swim. But Peter understands that according to the Levitical order of priesthood, you don't come into the presence of the Lord naked. So he puts his coat on. Just as surely as a priest was forbidden to come in the holies of holies and his nakedness would appear. I don't want to have to stop and go all the way back into the tabernacle, but those of you that understand the tabernacle, you understand that the priest didn't even allow his nakedness to appear under his clothes. That he didn't even just wear a robe, but he had to put his pants on because he didn't even want his nakedness to appear on the ground, for the ground he stood on was holy. Peter jumps and puts on his coat and takes a swim to come into the presence of the Lord. And it is that move that Peter made that is critical to your being here tonight. Because one must reason in his mind, it was Peter's idea to go fishing in the first place. It was Peter that said, I go fishing. It was Peter who had the expertise to be adept at fishing. It was Peter who owned a fishing business. It was no doubt Peter's boats that they were out there on. And it was Peter who had fished all night till he'd come out his clothes, casting out his nets, trying to catch something. And it was Peter who was dealing with the frustration of being gifted in an area where he was not being successful. And it was Peter who finally is trying to pull in the multitude of fish. And when he finally hits the multitude of fish, he leaves the fish.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
He's finally coming to his season. And see, this is the greatest test. The greatest test in your life is not failure. The greatest test in your life is success. Failure's not a big test, because when you're failing, you have no options. Success gives you options. When you're broke, you don't have nothing to do but believe God. You can't do nothing else. We just believe God. I guess you did. You didn't have nobody else to believe. When I was teaching on money some time ago, I was telling you that money gives you options. People who have no money have few options. If you have no money and you came to church with somebody tonight, you can't leave till they leave. So if they stop and get to talking, you got to wait. If they decide they want to stop and get something to eat, you got to go. You got no options because you got no money. But if you got some money, you got some options. So if we came together and I want to do something that you don't want to do, and you got some money, you, according to how much money you got. If you got a little bit of money, you can catch the bus. If you got more money, you can call a taxi. If you got more money, you can call a limo. If you got more money, you can call a helicopter. Don't bother me, because I know what I'm talking about. Money gives you options. Here lies the epitome of worship. True worship cannot be proven where there are no choices. If there are 1,000 women left in the world and only one man left, but when they say, I love you, it really doesn't mean much, because there wasn't nobody else there for you to love. I pick you. I guess you do. When I was a kid and we played dodgeball, they would pick the teams. And I was always last. And when they picked everybody else, they finally say, all right, I'll take Tommy Jakes. I guess so. I'm the only one left standing on the wall. So I didn't feel flattered that they chose me. There was nobody else left to choose. They had to pick me. But if they would have picked me first, the same action done with options becomes a powerful compliment, because then it says, I am worth something, worship, worship, because you had options. Peter could have stayed in the comfort zone with his success, counted up his bounty,
and said, oh, goody, 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 I'm in my season. But he was faced with the choice. He can either stay with the fish or go for the Lord. You have to ask yourself tonight, faced with the choice between becoming successful in the area of your dreams and leaving it all for Jesus, which one would you choose? Here lies the greatest decision you will ever make. And the Lord never told him to make it. He just presented him with choices. And the Bible said that when Peter heard it was the Lord, he saw great multitudes of fish, and then he heard it was the Lord, and he gave up what he could see over what he heard. For faith cometh by and hearing by the word of God. Oh my God. Here's the great test. Can you give up what you can see over what you heard?
Like negativity in my mind?
Sometimes circumstances.
I think self-doubt might be one of them.
God gave you a vision and you ran into trouble. That doesn't mean that the vision wasn't real. It just means that much is required of you to get to that next level.
You now have the opportunity to reach the next level with the SOAR Experience. Bishop T.D. Jakes, along with other top entrepreneurs, will speak finance, business practices, and wisdom at an exclusive one-day-only event at the Potter's House of Dallas on October 7th.
Entrepreneurship is not about a business alone. It's really about a mindset where you take responsibility and stop allowing other people to control your destiny, your purpose, and your value.
For only $30, you will not only get the practical tools to get your dreams off the ground, but you'll also get a copy of Bishop's new book, SOAR. Log on to tdjakes.org/SOAR to register today.
Job chapter 1, verse number 7. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? Ain't that something that God would say that? There's nobody in the whole world like Job. Say, he's a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Underline that. When he says, does Job fear God for naught? He's saying, does Job serve you for nothing? See, Job was rich. He said, I guess he does serve you. He's not serving you because he loves you. And these are the accusations that the enemy makes as you become more successful. I guess he does serve you. Look at how you spoiled her. I guess he does serve you. Look at all the stuff you gave him. He said, have thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the works of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. Look at it. Joe was loaded, baby. He was saved. He was anointed. He loved God, and he was stanky rich. Stanky, funky rich. He was. I just want to give you the other side, because you're always hearing people on the radio and on TV talking about if you really serve God, you need to be poor and you need to be broke. I don't know what kind of Bible they read. And I'm not saying that you got it, that being rich makes you spiritual, but I am saying that if you, being evil, want your children to have good stuff, how much more would God not want to bless his children? Don't be ridiculous. Does Job fear God for not? He says, you made a hedge about him. Look at this. You made a hedge around him. Count it up. You made a hedge about him. Okay? You blessed his house. And about all that he had on every side, everything around him got blessed. Everything he touches with his hands. Look at that. That's the next thing. Everything you bless, everything he puts his hands to. And you blessed his substance. And you blessed him to increase in the land. All of Job's stuff pays off. All of his investments come through. Everything Job puts his hands on, you bless. He said, but if you put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, ready to attack everything Job had, because Satan thought that faced with the choice, Job would curse God for stuff. It's all about options, and you can't prove love till you have options. They took everything Job had, everything, and it wasn't just money. Cut deeper than that, because taking money ain't that bad. Because if you ever had it, you generally get it again. You know, people go bankrupt and come back, and people, millionaires, would lose everything, and the next year they're millionaires again. Because once you understand certain principles about finances and success, you can operate them over and over again. That's not so bad to lose everything, because you can get it back. Because whatever gifts and talents and resources you got the first time, you can activate those things generally just through natural principles. You can come back up again. It's not so bad that he lost all his stuff. Job lost his kids. Job lost all of his sons. Job lost his daughters. Job lost his health. Job lost his reputation. And Job lost his marriage. Job lost intimacy in his house. They stopped having sex. She hated his breath. She didn't want to sleep with him. She walked off and left him when he was down and out and said, why don't you curse God and die? And the Bible said, through it all, Job held on to his integrity. I have to stop a minute. I know that there are members in here that are up under attack in different areas, with your children, with your marriage, with your finances. You're going through hell. It looks like you're losing one thing after another, and the enemy's pointing his face and laughing and saying, where is your God? I thought you were so saved. I thought God was with you, but I came to tell you something. Hold on to your integrity. You are coming back up again. Oh, let's have a little church up in here. Let's have a little church. You're gonna make a comeback. Don't panic. It's just a test. Don't backslide. Don't leave God. Don't lose your mind. Haven't done all to stand. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. God
deliver you. I've been through it. I've been there. I've been with no lights. I've been with no water. I know what it is to have no food. I know what it is to have no gas. I know what it is to have no car. I know what it is for the enemy to keep you up at night saying, I thought God was your deliverer. I thought you were so saved. You were doing better than this when you were in the world. I know how he'll tempt you. Go out and sell some drugs. Go out and turn a trick. You got to use common sense. You ain't got to use no such a thing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Now watch this. I want you to see this. Job went through a test, had everything, lost it for the gospel's sake. When it was all over, and it will be over. Y'all don't hear what I'm preaching. I'm preaching so good, I'm about to amen myself. The book says God gave Job double for his trouble. No. Double what he had before. The way to double is going through trouble. Tell somebody, say, if you can give it up, you can have it all. See, most people don't have the faith to give up anything. They want everything while they give up nothing. And it's not going to happen. If you can give it up, you can have it all. Now, can you see why Peter, when he heard it was Jesus, seeing as Peter was there when Jesus was teaching about giving up stuff, they said, well, Peter, you finally brought in your great multitude. He said, there's nothing that I brought in as important to me as having Jesus, and leaped off the boat and left it. Watch this, watch this. Don't go nowhere, don't leave. Don't go to the bathroom, don't scratch your nose. You gotta stay here. God's about to tell you something that is going to rock your world. He heard it was the Lord. He girded himself in a fisher's coat, for he was naked, cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship. I want to stop here and talk about that. For they were not far from land, but it was 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. I want to tell you something. Always take somebody with you. You might not can take everybody, but you're sure God ought to take somebody with you. And you need somebody who can suffer through the bad night with you. See, anybody will help you bring it in. But you need somebody who can hang with you while you stick it out. Oh God, I'm preaching good. Hallelujah. I'm scared of people that only come when the fish are there. I like to see people better floating through me through the bad night. These boys earn the right to bring it in.
because they stuck it out. Touch somebody and say, stick it out. Now watch this, because this is good. Now get the picture now. These other boys are trying to manage these fish because Peter's boat couldn't handle it. It was too much for him to do alone. And Peter had left all of it. Left all of it, jumped off the boat in a coat, swimming to get to Jesus. Peter said, I'm not worried about none of it. I'm giving it all up. I'm giving it up. I'm going for Jesus. You with me? Oh, this is good. Now watch this. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Now wait a minute, because I'm confused. I thought the fish were on the boat. I thought Peter had given up the fish to go for Jesus. But when he swam to land, Jesus was cooking fish. I've got to stop this here. The real joy to share the word of the Lord with you. May God's grace, mercy, peace, power overshadow everything in your life, and none of the vicissitudes of life are strong enough to stop the victory that germinates inside of your soul when you trust in Him. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Y'all already know this. I love you. God loves you too. Take care.
Everything you practiced on was preparation for what He is about to release in your life.
You already have the favor of God. Now get positioned to receive it.
Everything that you have secretly whispered to me about in the middle of the night, I'm sending it in your direction.
For your gift to the ministry of any size, you will receive Bishop Jake's Enlightening Message, Position Me on CD, and Custom Favor Prayer Frame.
Your success is in your struggle. When you come, everything you've been through comes with you.
And when your gift is $90 or more, we will add Bishop's 7 Message Series, Position for Favor, on DVD.
You had a season of turbulence, a season of being overlooked. Your season is turning.
However, when your gift is $120 or more, you will also receive this beautiful leather favor journal. There is no limit to what God will do in your life when you're positioned for favor.
Your season is turning.
Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Touch.